Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Kristen, her mom.
And we are going to be covering the film, and no, I can't even say film adaptations, but some adaptations of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility in the first edition of our Jane Austen-a-thon.
Right, so we're having an Austen-a-thon that we're going to interject periodically, probably throughout Peaky Blinders, which, you know, there's no logic to it other than it just...
When we have time.
It was something we've been wanting to do, and timing-wise, it seemed like a good time for us to watch at least some of these adaptations and take notes, despite the fact that, yes, we are still doing Peaky Blinders, and yes, we are going to be getting back to Peaky Blinders, but in the interim, we have the following caveats, which include that there might be cursing.
There is going to be cursing.
Okay, there's going to be cursing.
We might as well make it a blanket statement.
There will definitely, if you have not read books, watched Austen adaptations, any of those things, there will be spoilers and spoilers and spoilers, because you need to be like an Austen person to really get this. But it also gives some context to how we approach, you know, things like Bridgerton and other Regency period dramas and stuff like that. And we are having things to drink. What do you happen to drink, Adam?
Earl Grey tea.
Very, yeah, we're actually both kind of caffeine oriented or not caffeine. I'm having a mocktail. That's the bottom line. I had been meaning to when we were doing the Bridgerton series, and I actually tried all of the mocktails in the Regency Book of Drinks, and they're all really good. Some of them are weird. Weird ingredients, but they taste amazing. So this first one that I'm doing is the Right Honorable. Describes itself as for the thrill-seeking husband who nevertheless is prudent about gambling away the family fortune. It consists of 1.5 ounces of honey tea syrup. I fudged and just made like very, very dark tea with honey in it. 3/4 ounce fresh ginger syrup. I didn't have fresh ginger. I used ground ginger. Ginger happens. 1 ounce of lemon juice, tonic water, and a lemon wedge for garnish. And it's actually pretty tasty. So mine's still a little warm because I didn't have time to let the syrup cool, but it tastes pretty good.
Fun. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're still, okay, I guess I'll try it now.
Right. So we thought about doing this a long time ago, watching all the Austen adaptations, and I can make it sweeter, but whatever.
Yeah.
Watching the adaptations and comparing them to each other, deciding which of the Jane Austen stories we like best, those kinds of things.
So what we're doing right now, what later on, I'm so sorry, I don't have time to read a book. I really don't have time right now in my life to read anything.
Working
really.
In a play is what she's trying to say.
Yes, I have no time. We're about to be in Tech Week. I have no time. Well, actually, by the time this comes out, it'll already be over. But I still, as of recording this, I don't have time.
Right.
So eventually when I do have time, hopefully while I'm at college and all that stuff, well, we'll see. But my goal is to read all of the Jane Austen books, well, all the ones that matter.
There are six that matter.
The six that matter, and ranking those. But right now, I am familiar with all of them through adaptations that we watched over spring break, I believe.
And
so basically what we're doing right now is we are going book by book and
chronological with the books. So Jane Austen had six novels that were published. Actually, the last three were published posthumously in the same year, 1818, but whatever. But the first one was Sense and Sensibility. Then there's Pride and Prejudice. Then it's Mansfield Park. Is that right?
Let me see. Yeah, Mansfield Park, then Emma, then Persuasion, then Northanger Abbey.
Right. And so we have opinions about the stories themselves.
Yes.
But it's also kind of...
But we're not ranking the stories. We're ranking the adaptations of the stories.
Right.
We're not doing modern adaptations. Like for Emma, we're not going to do Clueless. I'm sorry.
No. But
we're not doing the ones that take a lot of liberties. Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest, like we're not watching the musical version of Sense and Sensibility. We're not going to...
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Right.
Even though we have watched Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, it's been a while.
Oh yeah, and Austenland. We've done.
We're not watching those.
No, we're not. Okay, we're not we're not doing those for the podcast. We are watching them.
Or have watched them.
We have watched them. But we're, for instance, for this Sense and Sensibility watch, we were watching the 1995 movie with Emma Thompson, who did the screenplay for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also doing the 2008 mini series on PBS, I believe.
It was the BBC version.
It was a BBC version, sorry.
Right. It was broadcast in the US on PBS.
It was a mini series of three episodes that kind of broke up the story a little bit, similarly to the Pride and Prejudice 6-episode mini series that is pretty well known. And yeah.
There's
so,
some other Sense and Sensibilities out there, but some of them are on, you know, things that we don't have streaming services.
We are doing
for.
The stuff that is accessible to us. If we have to rent it, whatever, but we are doing the ones that are most easily accessible and
better
are meant to be a straight adaptation.
Right.
So we're gonna try to start things off by explaining the plot. I wrote down a little plot synopsis. It's very short. And it is very to the point.
Natalie was in some sensibility of the play, and so there is some.
We'll rank that bias. As well.
Bias in there, maybe.
I might ask at the end where you would place mine. Anyway, because I can't, I'm biased. So here's the plot that I wrote down in very, very simple terms. Father passes away and leaves the estate to his son from his first marriage. The Dashwoods, the mother. Eleanor, Marianne, and Margaret are left penniless and have to move away into a small
home. The mother's
home
name
country.
Is not.
Her
not
name's
Eleanor.
Mary. I'm not. Mom. Eleanor falls for her cousin / brother in law ish thing. We're not going to cover like the connections there. It was Regency period England. Let's not get too in the details there. It falls for Edward Ferrars. But they are forced apart by an engagement to another woman and miscommunications. Colonel Brandon falls for Marianne, who falls for Willoughby, who turns out to be a douchebag. They all have a happy ending.
That happy ending does not involve Willoughby. Just saying. Spoiler alert.
I don't want to give too much away about like every single plot point in these plot synopses. What we have is a pro con list, which will cover stuff that happens.
Because things being edited out or added in or part of what's included in a given series can make a difference in how we rank it.
And if you don't know the story of Sense and Sensibility, I'm sorry, you need. It's kind of a prerequisite for this podcast because we're not going to spell it out for you because we don't have time.
There are some very basic things. I will say this. There is a reason that when you look on Google at like 10 best Jane Austen adaptations, the 1995 Sense and Sensibility is like the top of the list. So it's kind of like I worry that we're almost like going downhill, right? You know, we're starting out.
Oh,
as
we're
the
not
first
going
thing we
downhill, Mother. We have Pride and Prejudice next.
Yeah, but there's a reason. Look, what?
After Pride and Prejudice, we will be, but
maybe not. Yes,
maybe,
we will.
Yeah, maybe not.
We will. It's a thing. But in any case, so this first one, the 1995 Sense and Sensibility movie.
Again, we have a pro con list, so we'll just be going through what we wrote down.
Right. So, you probably did it a little more clearly than I did.
Not really.
But the number one thing that is great about this is the cast. The cast is amazing. Emma Thompson.
Kate Winslet, Hugh Grant, Alan Rickman, Hugh Laurie, and Imelda Staunton are the major names.
Emma Thompson plays Eleanor, who is the serious sister. She is the older sister. She is the one who is sensible, or she has sense. Let's put it that way. Marianne is the one who has sensibility. She's played by Kate Winslet in this version. The main guys, Edward Ferrars is Hugh Grant, and he does this stammering thing that is just perfect for this guy because he is considered to be kind of a weak,
shy,
not very assertive type of guy.
I buy it.
Right. He's got, and so Hugh Grant plays him. We also have Alan Rickman as Colonel Brandon. Alan Rickman is just fantastic in anything that he does, but he's really great. Even in this role, you never really think of him as being anything other than like bad guy, like Snape or whatever. But
it's his voice.
Yeah. But he is so great in this, being a kind of restrained suitor for Marianne, and worldly and knowledgeable and that kind of stuff. And we also have Willoughby, who's played by Greg Wise, who during, I guess, the filming of this, he and Emma Thompson hooked up. So they are now married.
Good for them.
And you kind of see a little something like.
There was a moment during the movie where he like gets in Emma Thompson's face, like as a joke or whatever. And I'm like, that's when she fell in love. Some of the things that I wrote down, that just the shorter things, like the music is so good. Writing in general, Emma Thompson did a wonderful job, and whoever helped her did a wonderful job on the screenplay.
I would point out Emma Thompson is well known actually as a writer. She's very, very smart. She was in a comedy troupe in at Oxford or Cambridge, whichever one, that also included Hugh Laurie, which is Hugh Laurie is in this. So when I'm talking about the cast, they have Imelda Staunton. These are like side characters. And you have Imelda Staunton. You have Hugh Laurie, who is just chewing every second he is on the screen. It is just so
for the humor, I wrote down a few moments, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, so the casting is really incredibly well done. I mean, you've got like great people across the board, and maybe just that you've got this A-list kind of cast to begin with, and they brought their friends, but it's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
Madame Pomfrey is the mom.
Yes, she is. Before I get to the humor, I'll save the humor for last. Great quiet moments to get to know the characters really well. Like, you don't, like, there's a moment that I'm thinking of Marianne's playing the piano, Eleanor's watching her, and Edward is watching Eleanor watch her. And it's a moment of great, like, vulnerability for Eleanor, who's crying because it was her dad's favorite song, who just recently passed away. And it's nice to see the little moments where they get to know each other as characters, and just we get to know them as well.
Well, and they have very plausible conversations. You don't have, you know, the thing we hate is the exposition dump stuff. And there is exposition, of course.
Sure, there has to be.
But they seem to be organic conversations in this. And that is a really great sign of great writing. Let's put it that way. And that great performances. There's a point where Emma Thompson's like going to bed and you know, her sister is asking her questions about, you know, her love or whatever. And you see her with red eyes, but she, you know, she controls her voice. I mean, again, you've seen her do this in Love Actually. She has that ability to bring that emotion just like on a dime. It's really impressive.
Yeah. Also, they kind of, I can't say they added to Willoughby's character. I wrote that down, but what they did was there's a moment at the very, very end. They cut out a scene that he was supposed to be in after an illness is happening. And I'll mention it in the next one. But so you don't get that moment where he confesses that he did fall in love with Marianne, but circumstances well within his control came back to bite him in the ass. And so he couldn't.
Circumstances of getting a girl pregnant.
Yes. And so there's this moment at the very, very end when everyone's having their happy endings. You see him on his horse on a hill watching and almost crying because he's so upset that he's not with Marianne. And I'm like, fuck you.
Right, because there are like the have Shakespeare's sonnets in here, and this, you know, love being an ever fixed mark kind of thing is a mantra for Marianne and Willoughby. And the fact that he isn't that guy, you know, or you know, he doesn't behave like he is that guy is very much the reason that they are apart. But the idea that he's still in love with her is, it says more about him being a better soul than we would
anticipate given his actions.
But yeah, so yeah, you have best parts. I've got cast
script. What else?
I was soundtrack. I think Hugh Laurie's character also fell in love with Eleanor, just based off of like how much he hates his wife and how much he likes Eleanor.
Melissa Stone is great at being the hated person.
Oh, yes.
She's amazing.
Also, I would like to mention the realistic set dressing and how the world feels really lived in, because there are some moments like they almost step in horse shit.
Yeah.
And like on their way to like a London ball. And there's, I also noticed that like on their mantle in their smaller cottage, they have some candlesticks, obviously, because that's what they used. Mm-hmm. And you have some ash marks on the wall to show that they've been used before. I really like those kinds of touches.
Yeah, they have a lot of that. And it's cold and there's a lot of reality to it, because when we usually see these Regency dramas, Bridgerton particularly, is all very clean and warm and comfy and you know, very 2000s. It is not anything like the Regency era actually was.
All right, so the humor. Mm-hmm. I have several examples. First, at the very, very beginning, when Marianne's playing some sad music on her piano and Eleanor comes in and is like, hey, can you play something different, dearest? And then she decides to change it to a more dramatic and sadder song. And she's like, I meant something more lighthearted.
Yeah, something less mournful, dear. And your mother's been crying all morning.
The whole Atlas scene with Hugh Grant, with Edward and Margaret and Eleanor is wonderful. In general, just like, Edward's relationship with Margaret is very, very cute. Margaret is the youngest sister, and she is mostly sidelined throughout the story. But if you do it well, Edward has a great relationship with Margaret, which makes her approve of him. And so there are some scenes where like they're sword fighting in the yard and he gets stabbed, and he talks to Eleanor about how they're going to be going to China at some point, and he's going to be Margaret's poorly treated servant. And whenever sends a letter or anything like that, he sends an atlas to them and calls her Captain Margaret in the letter. It's very cute. Colonel Brandon gets a little bit in on it as well by saluting to Margaret. I mean, like, it's very cute. All of the girls crying while Eleanor drinks tea is very funny. This one's a Hugh Laurie line. Imelda Staunton says, if only this rain would stop. And he goes, if only you would stop.
He is a great, and the thing is, he is so very funny. And it's so dry, and he has all of this disdain and disgust. His facial expressions are just incredible. You cannot like overlook a scene that's got Hugh Laurie in. It's great.
Yeah. And also Fanny's reaction to Lucy's news.
She goes, well,
they're like slapping the bitch.
Harriet Walter, who is in absolutely everything that's British, it plays Edward's sister, who is also the awful person who has the Dashwood family basically kicked out and cut off from the money and everything else. She finds out that this other girl, Lucy Steele, is engaged to Edward, and she physically beats her up. It is, you never see that in any Regency anything, but that kind of very visceral reaction is a lot of what you would expect from a woman who is as snobbish as she is, mm-hmm. finding out that, you know, this lesser woman is engaged to her brother. That's really pretty great. What cons did you list?
Fanny is the absolute worst.
She is.
I mean, it's supposed to be her character, though. Yeah. So mostly it's more just like with the story, because I honestly, there are very few cons for this.
I go back and forth on the Marianne characterization, but we'll get to that.
I like her in this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I prefer her in this version than the 2008 version we're about to talk about, because she's established very quickly as somebody who's very sensitive and really cares about culture and art. And I feel like you don't get that in the 2008 version. I'll get into that later. Rushed Marianne and Colonel Brandon relationship. I hate that in both this movie and in the play I did. I played Marianne, and so I really felt it, of just like, oh yeah, and also Marianne and Colonel Brandon are also together now. It's like, what? You went from Willoughby being your boyfriend, being your only personality trait, to, oh, I'm sick, and Colonel Brandon's helping me, so now I love him way more. I'm like, oh, okay, great. You've seen Colonel Brandon as the amazing guy that he is, finally.
Yeah.
Like, where was the turn? Where was the flip? Like, I wish I saw that. And you see it ever so slightly, but they don't show enough of it, and it's disappointing.
I think some of it is that the book doesn't flesh it out very much.
That's disappointing too.
Because I think the book is very focused on the Eleanor arc. But I need to reread the book. I mean, to be fair, it's been a while since I've read it.
But on that note, not enough Edward.
Yeah,
I think Edward disappears from the middle part of this movie, and it is felt. Like, it's not like you miss him all that. Well, I do miss him, but like they talk about him, which makes him like kind of present, but you don't get to really see anything of him. And there are certain parts of his story that I think should stay off screen and more ambiguous to make the flip at the very end more effective. But there's like a moment where, like, I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, well, we've gone from Edward immediately to Willoughby, and then we're forgetting about Edward the entire rest of this time. But you get like a little bit from like somebody else's perspective, Lucy Steele's, and all that stuff. It's just in the other version, in the 2008 version, there is a short visit from Edward, which I think was well placed. And you said it might have been in the book as well. And so I kind of wish they kept that in.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the lack of an Anne Steele. I think that you need to have Lucy be less annoying for us to feel even worse for Eleanor in a way. Because the deal with Lucy Steele is in the story at large, she has her sister Anne with her, and Anne is such a blabbermouth. She never stops talking, and she's very annoying. Whereas Lucy is a little bit more reserved, a little bit more meek, but has this big secret that she's engaged to Edward for 4 years, and which really hurts Eleanor. And she really confides in Eleanor. She thinks of her as a great friend for whatever reason.
Well, she says she does.
She says she does. But
undermining and evil.
But if you want her not to come off as undermining and evil, you need Anne there to like kind of break the tension and make her be the more annoying of the two. Because if you just have Lucy, what are you gonna do? Like, she's just awful.
Yeah, well, she's pretty awful, regardless. And so that's kind of how it goes. But I would say, do you have any other
cons? No, I don't.
Okay, so my big cons with this would be, number one, I feel like the characterization for Mary the mother, she's extremely weak in this. Mm. And while she's not a super well-developed character in the book, to my recollection, she's not this level of weak. And I think that they do a good job in the 2008 making her... Well, she's a little bit
more of a character.
Yeah, she has
more opinionated.
Yeah, she has more spirit than you see in this version. I also think that the characterization of Marianna, and I go back and forth on this. There are some things that I like about the characterization of Marianna. Obviously, Kate Winslet's great, and she does a great performance. But I think what bothers me is Marianna. Is a very emotional, to the point of coming across as stupidly emotional.
Like, oh, she's
so
stupid.
Impulsive. And I think it works because, you know, the level of stupidity, like, I want to slap the living shit out of her, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it works almost a little bit better, in part because we see her devotion to the arts. And she's very...
why she would get these notions in her head,
right? But you also, like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of yelling and there's a lot of Willoughby,
but that's her character.
That's true, that is her character,
like, sorry.
But I mean, I feel like she should be a little bit smarter in the end, and I'm not sure
because I think we that's don't just
see a lot of the development.
I think that, again, you don't see the flip.
Right. I also feel
I also feel like
Edward, and you're right, we don't see very much of him. I love Hugh Grant.
I love him.
I honestly, we're going to talk about the 2008. I like some things about the 2008, but mostly because you see, again, him having a bit more of a spine. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Because I don't think that Eleanor would fall in love with somebody who is as weak, spineless as he appears to be.
She can be the spine for both of them,
apparently. But yeah, so those are my only cons. I'll be honest with you, this is a fantastic thing. There's glowing cinematography, they're great performances, totally worth watching.
Watch it if you want to see an adaptation of Sense and Sensibility, or if you're just curious about Jane Austen in general. I think this is a great gateway.
Yeah,
this or Pride and Prejudice. I think those are great gateways to Jane Austen. All right, let's talk about Sense and Sensibility, the 2008 version. So, pros, it's the same, it's obviously the same story.
Right.
But
it's much expanded. It's got, there's a 3-episode arc here, so it is much expanded.
Yes. Mycroft Holmes from Sherlock, the BBC Sherlock, Mark Gatiss. That's
something we may do sometime.
Oh, yes. Mark Gatiss is John, the brother who kicks them out. Kicks
the guy who inherits.
Yes, the one who inherits and is spineless. A lot of men are spineless. Dan Stevens is Edward, which I love.
Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey, in case you're not hooking it up in your head right now.
Another pro I put is the Edward and Margaret relationship. I prefer it in the 1995 version, but they do a good job of establishing it in a different way. Because he like sees that she loves horses, and so he takes her on a horse ride. It's very cute. You see that she puts on a puppet show for him and Eleanor. It's very cute. Like they do some stuff to establish that relationship, which I think is a very smart thing to do, because Margaret is the gateway to the Dashwood family. Like if she approves of you, that's great.
Well, yeah, but the downside is that she is also the person, as children do, she will say things to people who aren't family that she probably shouldn't. She gets very upset when things don't go as she thinks they should from her child's perspective. Mm. And I think that and the childishness of some of the other characters factors into the incredible emotional reactions of both Eleanor and Marianne to thwarted love. But anyway, go ahead.
Mr. Weasley as Sir John Middleton.
Yes, awesome.
Love that.
Yeah.
I think they're at the very beginning, there's pretty good development for Colonel Brandon of his appreciation for music and his appreciation for Marianne loving music.
Right. He brings her music, which he is like, music. He's a man of action. Very
cute.
He brings books.
He brings flowers for the mother.
Oh, hey. Yes, Simon.
Sky from Mamma Mia, mm-hmm. and also Howard Stark from Agent mm-hmm. Carter is Willoughby, which I think is great casting. I think that he really fits the mold. Like he looks like a Willoughby. Yeah, like he's very, very handsome, but he will break your heart.
he's out for himself.
He's a bit of a greedy bastard. There's also a nice cottage location near the sea, so it's a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, and it's beautifully shot, don't get me wrong. Although there are some things that...
I'll mention those in my cons. a bit more of Edward in the middle part, which I appreciate, includes Lucy. Not Lucy. They do include Lucy, but because they have to. And Anne Steele. They also include Anne. There's some good sets in there, especially when they go to London. It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Edward coming back and Lucy being there is even more awkward in this version. And I love it. Like he comes in, he visits Eleanor in London, and Eleanor has just been talking to Lucy, like in her like parlor. They're talking and Edward comes in and he like holds Eleanor's hands and is like, Miss Dashwood.
It sounds like he's gonna like propose to her or something. He's like, oh,
say something so along the lines of like, I love you. And then Eleanor immediately shuts that down with, I believe you know Lucy Steele. And Lucy's like right there and she's looking at them like, what? And his face, oh my god, it's so good. Right,
so they sort of do this in the 1995,
but they don't hold hands.
That makes a world of difference. There's more there's more intimacy in this version.
Definitely
and,
more.
And, you know, it is, you still get the sense, and I got the sense in both of them, that this when they exit this scene, Edward is supposed to walk Lucy Steele to his sister's house. And you know that whole conversation is basically Lucy Steele going, "What the fuck was that?
We've been engaged for 4 years, you rat bastard. What was that?"
Then you come in and you're like panting over some other woman. What the fuck are you doing?
Also, there's a moment at a ball, at the ball in London, yes! where Robert, his brother, comes up and is just like, "Oh yeah, my brother's talked nothing but like everything about like how beautiful you are, Miss Dashwood." And then Lucy's right there like, "Huh?" And Eleanor immediately is like, "I believe you know Miss Lucy Steele." It's all she can do. It's her only defense mechanism is introducing Lucy.
Yeah, let's divert some attention away from me.
I just want to be seen. Yeah. Willoughby talking to Eleanor after Marianne is taken ill, but also why is Marianne there? But we're getting to that. But like, I really like they kept that scene because it gives a little bit more of an idea of whether or not Willoughby actually cared about Marianne, because it's literally a scene where he tells her, I didn't think that I was going to actually love her. And I'm sorry that
I was planning to use her.
Yeah, I was planning on just like making her whatever, like doing whatever with her. But then I actually fell for her, and I was going to, but then my aunt got in the way because she found out about me getting someone pregnant and all my debts and all that stuff and cast me out and all that stuff.
And then he said, but at the end of it, and Mary, pity me. Yeah, don't you pity me. And if I were Eleanor, I'd be like,
no. But Eleanor's a good person.
Well, but she says the Regency version of that is, "You're not welcome here."
Yeah.
Be gone.
Also, we get to hear about Marianne's engagement to Colonel Brandon earlier, which I like, but we didn't even get to see it. Like, you didn't get to actually see the proposal. And again, I feel like you don't see the flip. Instead,
get random falconry.
We'll talk about that later. You did spoil it. Why would you do that?
Because we were rambling.
We don't get to see the flip. We get to see a little bit more of the flip, I suppose, but I want to see it. Like, we're focusing on Eleanor at this moment. We need to focus on what's going on with Marianne and all that stuff if you really want us to be invested in that storyline. And also, there's a great final speech from Edward and a kiss with Edward, which is great.
Yeah.
So yeah,
agreed.
Those are my pros.
So my pros for this, well, a couple of things I really liked about this version, and you know, again, I like that they set it near the sea, which I don't remember that being in the book. I felt like, and I'll put that in a column, never mind. There's randomness here that I'm kind
of
like,
what? There's a lot of randomness pad the runtime for no reason.
Right, because there's that kind of thing. I think Dan Stevens is fabulous in this. He is just great. And he has his own take on this character that you know has been trodden and retrodden and, you know, like just 1,000 different iterations of it. And of course, you know, because the Emma Thompson movie is, you know, basically the gold standard for this story, he's got to distinguish himself from Hugh Grant, who's great in this role. But I like his performance. I also like that he has a more of a backbone. It's the kind of thing we see with Matthew. Everyone thinks he's weak, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about him. I love that he brings a little more actual passion.
Oh God,
which is really lovely. Yeah, that's so great.
I want to rewatch Down Abbey now. Sorry.
No. We have things to watch.
Looking back at his blue eyes.
Oh, he's so lovely. He's lovely. Although he doesn't take his shirt off, we thought he was going to, but he didn't.
Dad tricked me. I was in the other room getting water.
We're not talking about your father.
He did give us a note today about that. I would like to formally apologize for giving the impression that my dad is gay or bisexual. He is not. He just says very out of pocket things, and I feel I must repeat them. I am so sorry, Father. I love you. Continue.
Anyway, so I love too that the mother is a stronger character because she even says at one point, she's like, if I was still the Lady of Norland, my daughters wouldn't be treated this way. This would be horse shit. You know, first of all, they'd have money. And she'd be able to, you know, have dowries and make their lives better. And they would have, you know, at least a better home, all of those things. And I think, you know, her sense is that her daughters are being preyed upon by someone like Willoughby. And Willoughby is definitely a predator. Don't be confused. He is a predator.
Yes.
Because they're living in a cottage and they're considered to be down on their luck and, you know, all of those things. Edward's not that guy at all. And, you know, you do, like, there's a little bit of a phrasing in some of the lines here and there. And, you know, some of this does come from the book as well. I mean, we have this discussion about, like, guys are either weak or terrible or whatever. But, like, oh, like, Edward's treated Eleanor badly. And he didn't. And she actually, at the end of this, says to him, because there's some discussion in the last episode about, he asks specifically, like, why don't you hate me? You should hate me. And she's like, you've never lied to me.
Which is true. He literally, at the very end, when they first are getting to know each other and she has to move away, he friend zones her.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
Like, what was in that gift? Do you know?
Do we remember
what's in that gift? No. Charcoals, maybe? I don't know.
But he friend zones her, and you can see it's very painful for him to do that. And she
also, Eleanor can sketch, which
we thought was gonna amount to something, and it doesn't.
It's not in a con, it's just kind of in a what?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so in the positives, those things were huge positives to me. I do like some of the friendships we see, like, you know, the friendship between Colonel Brandon and Mr.
Middleton.
Yeah. I like that it's a little more fleshed out, but not much, because they're side characters, and they are side characters. I felt like there was not, and I guess we just need to go into the cons now. What were your cons? I have a bunch, but I didn't make them into a list, so I'm just random.
I have a bunch. Longer. It is 3 hours long. For what? There are a lot of travel scenes and montages that don't need to be there. There are a lot of shots of these random ass seashell, like, wind chimes near their, like, cottage that doesn't need to be there. They don't need to be there.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, on camera work at times, like, it happens to us all. Like, overall, I would say the camera work's really good, but then there's some random shots, like the death scene of the father being so out of focus that I'm just like, I can't, I think I'm drunk and I'm not. And then there's a pupil scene where Marianne is ill and the doctor and Eleanor are looking at her, and we get this shot of her pupil, of her eye, and her reflected in the eye is not Colonel Brandon, Eleanor and the doctor talking about her, and it's just very bizarre.
Like, yeah, I'm sure they thought that was good artsy stuff, and, you know, I've talked about good artsy stuff that I've seen in Peaky Blinders that involves reflections. This isn't part of that.
No.
The family is made out to be more rich than I anticipated. Like, at the very beginning,
they're living at Pemberley.
They basically live at Pemberley. Like, it is huge estate. Yeah. And I mean, like, in the movie, it's not like they're well off, but it's not that well off.
Yeah.
Like, they're not that wealthy. But either way.
And I think that is part of what makes the lack of generosity of the inheriting son more profoundly awful. You know, Mycroft, you really are a dickhead.
Yeah, they're going from this to a cottage.
Like, yeah, it's like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, no.
Also, no Shakespeare reading scene or poetry reading scene, which is a very good moment to establish Marianne's character.
Yeah.
It's very, very important. It's in the movie. It's also in the play. It's her coaching Edward on how to read Shakespeare, and it shows how much she cares about it and how that's a major part of her character, and like how emotional she can get, how much she attributes emotion to poetry, that kind of stuff.
So I never really felt like we got a good introduction to Marianne.
No, we didn't.
Like, we didn't get like, there's a moment where she talks to her mother about, oh, well, did you hear him read poetry last night? I'm like, no, I wasn't there. Even though you had 3 hours to do this story that didn't take them, the other people, too. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see. Eleanor is a bit more open about her feelings for Edward very early on, which is very odd to me, because there's a moment where, like, her and Marianne towards the beginning, after she's had like some montages with Edward, she's sitting there and Marianne's like, they're similar to the scene of Marianne going up to Eleanor and being like, reading some poetry and being like, hey, well, do you like him? Do you, all that stuff? And Eleanor kind of brushes off like, oh, I greatly esteem him, I like him, whatever. And she's like, greatly esteem, are you kidding? Like, he's hot. Like,
yeah, like,
don't you feel a little bit more than that?
And if you don't, you should.
And she, and literally, like, Eleanor just goes, yeah, I like him. And it's like, okay. Like, she's very enthusiastic about it. She's like, I don't want to get your hopes up about what might happen, but I really like him. And I'm like, okay, that's a little too normal for Eleanor. Yeah. Eleanor's supposed to be a bit more of a closed book than that. That's what I'm saying. They do a lot of talking about people being in love when they should have done more showing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moments with Marianne and Colonel Brandon getting closer, and they're like, oh, well, they look like they're in love. It's like, okay, we don't need you telling us that. We could just see it.
Yeah.
Or there are so many moments there, like when, especially towards the beginning with Edward and Eleanor, where like the mother is like, Mary's like, oh yeah, look at them, Marianne, they love each other. It's like, okay, we got that, thank you. You don't have to do that. It's more sparing though.
Yeah,
and it's well placed, and there's a reason why that character, who's someone who would vocalize it, does.
Yeah.
Because she has no filter. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that's like. There's also a vocalizing of the age gap between Colonel Brandon and Marianne that bothers me a lot. He in this show is 35, which is fine, but she's 17. He is more than twice her age, and it feels weird with them saying it, because in the movie I have eyes. I know that Alan Rickman is much older than Kate Winslet. They don't vocalize it, so I don't care as much. And he doesn't, and they have like this great filter, and he looks great, and he looks fit. He looks older, but he doesn't look bad. And Kate Winslet just genuinely looks a little bit older than you would expect for Marianne, so it doesn't matter to me as much.
Right, the actor in the series actually looks younger than Alan Rickman, so I'm not sure why you're getting so worked up over this.
I just don't like that they vocalized it, because it made me want to root for them less, which is disappointing. Also, Marianne goes on the infamous walk where she meets Willoughby on a cliff, by the way.
Oh yeah, they had a cliff in there. I was like, oh, all
to
right.
avoid
gonna die.
To avoid Colonel Brandon. The whole thing with her, like, it's one thing for her to be like, oh, I don't like Colonel Brandon when I have Willoughby. But even before she meets Willoughby, people are like, oh, well, you and Colonel Brandon get along. And she's like, no, you. Blech. And he's old. And it's like,
I can't be alone with him.
Yeah. And so she gets this really worked up about it. Whereas, like, in the movie, it's just to, like, make Eleanor feel a little bit less awkward with Margaret constantly asking her about Edward and such. And so Marianne takes Margaret for a walk in the rain and gets her ankle twisted.
her knickers in a twist.
Yeah. I originally put this, but I think that it wasn't true, but Colonel Brandon already knowing about Willoughby, I think they might have known him by reputation.
This whole series starts with Willoughby knocking up the girl.
Yeah.
And you're not given context about that until later. And I actually like it being more of a flashback, like a Colonel Brandon, this is why.
I like it better as a flashback as well, instead of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Adding a physical aspect to Marianne and Willoughby's relationship, I think, regardless, well, you should hate Willoughby, mm-hmm. but if you take the idea that Willoughby actually loves Marianne at this point, he wouldn't compromise her.
it would be different than how he treated this other girl. And so I think taking that, and he does stop her from like going any further, but just doing the kiss in the first place. Yeah, no, she wants
to go further.
Well, no, he's just like, I think I should take you home.
Right. No, he doesn't stop her. He stops himself.
Well, regardless, he stops the situation from escalating, which is something, but I don't know.
He shouldn't have taken her to a house, an empty house.
That whole thing is so stupid. Like him taking her to Allenham and then being like, I hope you like this. It might be your future home, is what he's implying. And
it's a much more elaborate and he's much more vocal with her and her mother and everybody else. It makes it about his intentions. It makes it look like he's going to marry her. And so it makes it worse for Marianne. But it also is kind of like why I almost expected Marianne to have a bigger meltdown than she does. And, you know, because having
she's very tame.
Kate Winslet has a much bigger meltdown over less.
Yeah. So that's why I was kind of put off by this version of Marianne. Not that the actress doesn't do well. She's in The Great. She's good in The Great.
Mm-hmm.
She's great in The Great, actually. Yeah. But it's disappointing because Marianne's whole thing shtick is her being over dramatic, and now she's not. And to be fair, she's a little bit less annoying in a way, like annoying as in her meltdowns are less annoying because it's a more grounded meltdown in a way. But at the same time, that's not really her character at all.
That's why she's sensibility.
Yeah, Edward's hair lock ring that hurt. Edward,
I forgot about it, but it is in the book.
Yeah, Edward comes in during his mid thing, his middle of the series like visit
episode two,
and they notice a ring with a lock of hair in it, and they're like, "Oh, well." Is that for your sister? Which, why would it be? But sure. And he goes, oh, yes, that's my sister. No, it's Lucy's. So it makes it even weirder for me when he does friend zone Eleanor, but it just, I don't know. It makes the whole thing, him being reminded of his relationship with Lucy by wearing the ring. And then him being weird. Anyway, random fencing, which amounts to nothing. There's this at the beginning of episode two, there's a random fencing match between Willoughby and Colonel Brandon, and it's never explained. It's barely a scene. Like what was that? I'm confused. Anyway, changing Brandon's backstory so Eliza was married to his older brother.
Yeah.
Is a bit odd.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
In the book and in the movie, as far as I know, Brandon fell in love with his family's ward, which is a very big Jane Austen thing.
Yes.
But you'll see it later in Mansfield Park. But you get the impression that he loved this girl, but she wasn't proper enough for his family. And so he was sent off to the military, and she was cast away from the house, and that's how she got into her dire straits. But in this version, it's like, oh, well, she got married to my older brother, which, first of all, why would that be better for your family? But fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't love her the way that he should, and so they got a divorce. And I'm like, why is this even an aspect? It's not even a part of the series. Like she had a child, and he takes the child in as his ward, which I think is an even better thing if she wasn't married to his older brother.
Yeah.
But regardless, anyway.
Well, and that's the girl who ends up getting knocked up by Willoughby.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of fluff added to that backstory is unnecessary.
Edward asking for his mother's blessing for him and Lucy to get married. There's a reason why we don't see this in the other movie, because it makes us like Edward less.
Yes.
Because Edward, he literally comes in to see Eleanor, like I mentioned, holding her hands, all that stuff. Lucy is there, so cock block. And he takes her back home to his sister's house, and Anne has spilled the beans about their secret engagement. And then he's like, well, I'm about to get cast out from my family. I might as well admit that I want their blessing. They cast him out of the family. There's a reason why this is just talk amongst the ton in the original version.
Right, because what happens is that you get the sense that Edward's actually in love with Lucy, the way it's portrayed.
He not stands up for her like right, that.
He's,
I'm like,
he's not doing just doing the noble thing. Like, the impression I had gotten from other versions was that Edward, they find out about the engagement that his mother then goes to Edward separately, alone, without other people
casting him out,
and says, "Look, you stick with her, and I'm going to cut you off." And because he does not want, the money,
yes,
he accepts that. And then I got the impression that then he goes to Lucy, and Lucy's like, "Ah, hells no, I want the money."
Yeah, and Lucy then goes through his brother Robert, which still happens in the show, but. It's odd because he holds out his arm for Lucy after he's like, well, if she's being cast out, I'm cast out too, and he holds out his arm right. And she takes it.
Yeah, as opposed to the other way around, right? Yeah. Like he's getting cast out and she would be cast out with him, and she's like, we're not doing that.
That's what I thought was going to happen, and then it didn't.
Right, and it took me a swoop.
And it makes the switch to Robert even weirder for me.
And then there's a super long fucking montage.
Yeah, and my last one is random falconry. I really wish that was a new concept.
There's random fencing in here too.
I already said the random fencing one. You just weren't paying attention. Random falconry. There's a moment when Marianne and Colonel Brandon are bonding. It's a very Beauty and the Beast type scene where she's like, I want to expand my horizons and read more books. And Colonel Brandon has a great library, and he like takes her to the library, and he's just like, well, take all the time you need. And then there's this moment where he just has a falcon and he has like an oven mitt on.
It's like five fucking minutes.
No, it's not. You're exaggerating, but it is a longer moment than it needs to be. But he has this falcon on his arm and he like is like casting it off, and Marianne's just watching it. I'm like, what is this? Like, why is there a falconry scene? I'm very confused. Are you really that into ornithology? Like, are you good? I didn't know you were this into birds. Like, I mean, you see him like shooting pheasants before, but I guess he owns a falcon. Mom, you were like, oh yeah, well, he's into sports. I'm like, that's not the same as falconry.
Falconry is a hunting sport. It absolutely is.
But it's very weird.
Whatever. So here's my thing. So for me, all of those were negatives for me. I felt like the Edward appearing for that visit does seem rather random, and I think it's a little bit better explained in the book, as I recall. I don't remember all the context, and I don't want to misquote. But you know, one of the other things that bugged me is like the music.
The electric guitar!
Before that. So, like, the music throughout, I kept saying, is that Reigns of Castamere?
Because it's not. At the
start, it sounded a little like Reigns of Castamere. It doesn't
sound that much like Reigns of Castamere.
Is someone going to die? It's like, oh no. No, and then, you have all these montages with the wind chimes, and, that living in the Regency era was not, all the radio and stuff like that. But the other completely anachronistic moment of music, and because the other music really isn't anachronistic, it's just kind of weird, because I'm hearing these other themes in there. But the thing that was completely anachronistic is when Marianne is off on her wet walk from
wet walk. wet walk
looking for Willoughby.
Oh my god.
She Colonel Brandon gets to look for her, and for the first time in the entire series, you start hearing electric guitar riffs. It's like, what the hell is this? And then I don't even know how he fucking found her. This is a huge estate. He goes looking for her. She is flat in tall grass. I don't know how the fuck he found her, because I'm sorry, at a distance, you're not going to see this woman.
See, in the movie, it makes more sense.
It does.
Because you can see the
she's not
Willoughby's estate from there, from the Palmer's estate.
And you can know where she's going.
And literally, Mr. Palmer in the movie is like, well, you two guesses where she's going. Like, I mean, it's more likely, okay, you can see it from the top of the hill. She's going to be on the top of the hill. Right. And this, she's by a tree. I don't know why, but right, she is.
Right. There's a lot of weird. I'm just saying that, that whole sequence, I think, is not as compelling as it should be. And again, I feel like they downplay Marianne and this in a way that I don't.
It's disappointing. Like.
And it's not, I don't blame the performances. I blame
it's
the writing.
It's not her fault.
I blame the writing and the editing. And again, you know, it's not, I would not change the fact that I'm much more of an Eleanor person.
Oh, no. Yeah, I am too.
But at the same time, it's like Marianne deserves her due and she's not getting it in this. So those were my big negatives for this, aside from just overall. The movie is better.
The movie is better. We're going to do a ranking. Yay. I wonder what it will be. A lot of these will be pretty obvious. Like the rankings of this will be pretty obvious. But my ranking is the 1995 movie is number one. Number two is this 2008 series.
I agree.
I don't think that it's a bad series. Mm-mm. If you were looking for a different adaptation, than the 1995 version, give it a shot. But
you
if you're looking
worse.
If you're looking for your entryway into it, I think the concise, well done 2-hour movie is better than a 3-hour miniseries that rambles.
Yeah, there is a lot of not necessary, not particularly well edited in the 3-episode series. So I do think some of the performances are really good though.
Absolutely.
And, I definitely think Dean Stevens is great. So we are going to be doing again, we're going to be doing the
I'm sorry, before we move on, also the girl who played Eleanor is really good too.
She is.
I feel like we didn't mention that. We praised Emma Thompson. This girl is also really good too.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
So we are going to be doing next Pride, well, we're going to be doing some more Peaky Blinders, but we're going to do as part of the Austin series, the next one would be Pride and Prejudice. We're going to do at least 2 versions, possibly 3. Let's see.
No, it's probably 2. I don't think we already said we're not doing zombies. So
no, but there is the ancient Laurence Olivier one that I've never seen.
I guess we can watch that one.
Anyway, we'll see. In any case, we hope that you join us. And
cheers.